All right, what's going on? Welcome back to the Look Mum, I'm Hustling podcast. We're back live, episode 51. Excited to be here. New direction. Do we have a new direction this episode?
I don't know. Sort of, kind of. We'll see. How the episode flows.
At the end of the episode, we'll decide if it is a new structure to the show.
Yeah, it's maybe been a whirlwind of a day and I haven't even had a chance to think about it at all.
You got home 5 minutes ago. This is us hustling.
It is actually us hustling.
As opposed to just doing it at 11 o'clock in the morning, just after it's been chilling all morning. This is like proper hustle mode.
It is proper
Sunday,
hustling.
Sunday, right before the release day.
Yeah, and it's hot and it's a bit bothered. We'll get there. And
are you hot?
A little bit warm.
Put the aircon on.
It's fine.
I got a hoodie on.
Yeah, you got a... Why do you have a hoodie on? Aren't you warm?
I am warm, but I'm not too warm.
I just like the blue
on
blue.
Enough.
Yeah, you're warm enough. You're very hot.
Blue on blue.
Blue on blue.
Well, you got the blue colour on your side.
That's fine. But yeah, you've been hustling today as well. Like, you've been working hard.
Yeah, let me just get a sigh of... exhalation out. Whew. Huh. But yeah, the week's been crazy. It's, I can't believe it's Sunday already. It's just everything's been flying by. Last week we had our 50th episode. We did our 7 lessons for new podcasters, or just, I guess, any podcaster that wants to learn some of our mistakes. We watched the Super Bowl on Monday.
Yeah. Like, that was really, I think that was my first Super Bowl I've ever watched. And
well, I was trying to teach you the rules.
I think I picked it up pretty quickly, though.
It's a pretty simple game.
Like, I was just like, oh, it's kind of like rugby, sort of. Like, it's pretty much like all, I mean, I'll call it sports balls because, like, sports balls is pretty much all the same that have a ball. Like, someone has to, like, catch it or kick it or throw it.
Not golf.
No, that's a different kind of sports ball.
It's the hit ball.
Stick ball?
Hit ball. So what did you learn about NFL? What, like, let's break down how good of a teacher I am.
Okay. Yep. So first off, there are a gazillion team members on
there's
each
a lot,
team.
Yes.
Yeah, there's heaps of teams. And you have one that's the defensive and you've got the other one that's the offensive. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And then with the offensive team, you've either got like the throwers or you've got like the run with the ballers. Right? I can't remember the names. Yeah. And sometimes you have to trick the other team, right? So you're like, catch, 24, yep. hot, go. And then you like make a, like a.
It's a, that's pretty right.
Something.
Yeah. I don't even know half the names of the the roles and positions. I know there's like tight end and loose end, I guess. So, I don't know.
And the dudes on the sidelines have these big like laminated sheets of like all these players.
That's what you just liked the stationary aspect.
I thought it was kind of cool. Like they're all color coded and I was like, oh, it looks like a fancy Google calendar.
They're pretty in depth. They must have so many different plays on that, the board they have, because they do drill all sorts of different drills and stuff. There's heaps of like documentaries and stuff about NFL teams, high school teams. There's one at the start of every season. I think it's called Hard Knocks, and it goes through a particular team and all the up-and-coming recruits from college and stuff. And they just get, like, whatever, 50 to 100 people in trying out for the team. They all have to learn the different plays, the code names and everything. And then half of them don't even make the team anyway. So, it's like, just it, as opposed to being an athlete, there's a lot to remember and a lot of nuance to each play. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, I did really like the movie Recruitments. I think they were called The Recruits with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, I think I used to watch that on repeat because I was a big Keanu Reeves fan. So, like, Matrix, anything he was in, I used to watch. No Replacements. That's what it's called, The Replacements.
Replacements?
Yeah. Because, like,
I hit zero Google results from
sorry, yeah. So, it's called The Replacements. I'll put it on the screen.
Internet's down.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So, with The Replacements, so Keanu Reeves. So, the whole premise of this story is, like, the main football team. Football team go on strike because they're not getting enough money. So then they're like, well, we still need to, you know, have the team playing because they, you know, need to go in the finals and stuff. So then they got all these like ex players and Keanu Reeves used to be like the star quarterback, but he failed like the final throw and the team lost the, you know, the Super Bowl or whatever it is. But then they end up being like the underdogs and like coming through. Yeah. There's like heaps of actors in this one. And then you've got like the,
well, like, all the players of the team, there has to be a lot of actors, technically. Sure.
Like famous people, like Gene Hackman, he's like in there. So, good. Yeah, but I used to, that's where some of my football knowledge came from was because of this movie.
And there was an Aussie playing, I think he was playing for the blue team? The team that didn't win. I can't remember what team it was. I think it was the Philadelphia Eagles. A couple of Aussie guys that used to play AFL who are now the main punter.
Yeah. Because they can leg it like across the field, man. Like it's pretty.
Boot it.
They can boot it across the field.
Toot it and boot it.
They probably could leg it as well.
They're so one dimensional. All of these, like you said, there's an offensive team and a defensive team. That's like one of the big differences to like NRL here in Australia, or even AFL or just rugby union. Mm-hmm. There's just you're a universal all in one type of player. You got to do multiple different. They have different like positions, but they have to be defensive and offensive. Obviously, you have to still do that depending on the team at NFL. If the other team gets the ball, you have to quickly change the way you're playing until the other team comes and swaps out with you.
But they generally have like quite specialized like players. Yeah.
So I just have said the word specialized and I would have saved that 10 minutes.
No, because you have people that would like catch the ball that the quarterback is throwing, right? And they have to like cross, like try and get it towards the touchdown line. That's what it's called, right? Infield? Touchdown. Touchline.
One of those.
But then during halftime, Riri came on.
That's what you enjoyed. You enjoyed the laminate stationery.
I did the laminate stationery and then Rihanna. Yeah. Which was pretty interesting.
Halftime show.
Yeah, it was. It was like, they had the floating platforms, which I thought were really cool. But I was like reading into it. Do you know why they had like a small stage and the floating platforms?
Do tell.
Because apparently the grass is really special.
Having like a huge plank or platform on this is going to ruin the grass.
Yeah. So apparently a lot of players they petitioned for like better grass, like spongier grass. So like when they fall or when they get tackled, it's not as hard because apparently it used to be like heaps hard, like turf.
Yeah.
So then they spend like heaps of money changing all the fields, making it this special grass. So then we're like, what can we do to protect the grass to make sure it doesn't like get damaged and stuff? So then they sort of design this like thin stage and the floating platforms and stuff so it doesn't. So apparently it's meant to help for concussions and everything, but that was like it was all about the grass.
So don't change the helmets, just change the grass.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Did you know about that? The grass?
I didn't. That's something you've taught me about sports today.
Yes. I know more about sports than you.
It'd be so hard to have the same type of grass or ground. Like, I know with tennis, there's like clay and grass and everything, right?
Yeah.
It'd be so hard to have a universal type of grass because obviously you're in a different city, different humidity, different climate, unless it's all man-made.
It would probably be artificially grown, right? So it'd be like in a greenhouse or whatever, and probably gets rolled onto the special field and then like rolled off, and then, you know, you have like Waterboy, like Adam Sandler, but like for grass, like someone who's like looking after the grass, like taking the temperature or the pH levels.
Probably would be.
Yeah,
with cricket, they take it super seriously. They have someone that walks out onto the pitch, and has a look at the level of cracking and stuff on the.
Yeah.
Cricket pitch. Is it cricket pitch?
Well, yeah, because if the ball hits it wrong, then it's just going to go haywire, right?
So they can't really do much about it, but like they have to come and analyze it. Mm-hmm. If you're like a bowler or a batter, you got to know if it's going to like
how it's going to
bounce or impact the ground. It applies to any sport, I guess. Like we're watching golf at the moment. Well, not really watching golf. Watching that golf documentary, Full Swing on Netflix, which we can touch on. That's kind of the beauty of sport, I guess, as opposed to like basketball is probably the only one that has like a universal type of consistency in terms of like the field and where it's played.
Well, because it's indoors and it's on like a, not wood. But
even then they'd have different types of wood and different laminates or polishing methods.
True.
Of the floor. Yeah. Like it's kind of interesting. Like no two places is identical.
Same would be for tennis, right? Because you have different like tennis courts and stuff as well.
So spongy. Super Bowl. So what did you like about Super Bowl, Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show, other than her big red gown?
Well, it's always like, it's pretty good melody, as always. So always the best hits and stuff. And then-
Medley?
What did I say? Melody?
Melody. Melody's a part of a song. Medley is a
accumulation
a mash
of songs.
Mash-up.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then it didn't click till like afterwards. I'm like, oh, why did she like touch up her face with makeup? And like, it's for Fendi, her makeup brand.
So I didn't realize they don't get paid for the halftime show.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so none of the celebrities or musicians get
really?
Paid at all.
Oh, is it just like a big, so it's just like them advertising themselves?
I think so.
Right. So she must have, does she have like an album coming out soon?
No, that's what she's going to tell you about the Fendi thing. Like that's a way to like make some money off the free gig.
Gotcha. But like how many people are going to make that connection to like, oh, she's just like touching up her makeup to like, oh, she does makeup.
So that's what the whole catch. That's what Rihanna is super good at, right? So you bring it back up if you like. When I did this, the circle motion, that was for you to keep talking while I was like Googling.
Gotcha. Not to change it off. That's the thumb. I feel like I should know. I thought I got pretty good with the
right,
thumbs.
From now on, like this is like keep it going while I do a quick search.
Yeah.
And that's everyone's just like, learning the secrets to the video pod.
Secret hand signals. What's this one?
That's Fly Away.
Okay, just quit it.
Quit it. No, they're all free performances. And I don't, I think she, does she have an album coming out? It probably doesn't. Maybe
no,
does.
I don't think she's made music in ages.
Well, she's
been focusing.
Now.
Yeah. She's just been focusing on fashion. So, like, I think she's got a fashion label as well and then makeup.
Right. So, like, the main thing is you want to be able to try and capitalize on it. You're not going to do a free gig out of nowhere. You haven't performed in 3 or 4 years. So, the whole thing is it's about, like, every Super Bowl is about, like, the meme. Remember mm-hmm. Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake?
Oh, no, that was the Oscars. Or was that Super Bowl? Like, the little star nipple thing?
That was Super Bowl.
Oh, and then last year was, like, Rihanna and Shakira, right?
No,
was that
Rihanna's
the year before?
This
Not
year.
Rihanna, sorry. Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
I think last year was Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre,
oh.
And it was a bunch of rappers.
The year before that must have been... oh, right, gotcha.
Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Dr. Dre, all the West Coast rappers.
Yeah.
Sorry, we'll go back in time a little bit. 2021.
Ah, Rihanna. No, Rihanna. Gosh, darn it.
Shakira and J-Lo.
J-Lo, yep.
And then, wait, when wasn't The Weeknd on one? Was that in 2020? Was that long ago? I remember, didn't The Weeknd do one? Or was that, maybe that was a different sport.
Is there a halftime show? Is there like a Wikipedia page of halftime show? Weeknd halftime show.
What
maybe
year was
not.
That?
Maybe it was 2021. 2 years ago. Interesting.
Interesting.
Okay.
Anyway, what was I talking about?
So, the
Rihanna.
Makeup, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all about the memes. If you put off a good performance, it's more about the meme and what the internet says after the fact. Same
gotcha.
As the Super Bowl halftime or the ads during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about what's meme, what's going to go into Twitter and on trending and stuff, make the news the next day because mm-hmm. it's more interesting than the game itself.
Yeah.
So as soon as she brought her makeup out, and it doesn't seem like a normal part of a performance to like,
no,
touch
not
your makeup.
At all.
No. So what are you going to do? You're going to be like, what was she doing about makeup?
Mm-hmm.
And then straight away the answer is going to be like
makeup.
Fendi. Oh, it's Fendi's on sale or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then just boost the algorithm for like searching Fendi or Rihanna makeup because that's what you're searching is Rihanna makeup question mark.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have a look here. This is the signal to keep talking. While
all right. Out. Right. So, yeah, I wonder if you actually do search the Rihanna Fendi makeup. Well, you didn't even know it'd be called Fendi.
Well, you just type in Rihanna makeup or Fenty. Sorry.
My bad. I think Fendi is a different type of brand.
It is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought they were the same thing.
Fenty. So, performance makeup touch-up. So, there's quite a few articles on it as well.
I'm just looking if there was like a huge boost in sales or anything.
Maybe. Deal. Sales. Interesting. But yeah, like it would be... You'd have to take like an extra level of marketing to be able to think about, right, let's put something in there or how can I incorporate it? Because I wonder then if the clothes that she was wearing and her dancers were wearing was if that was part of like her fashion label.
Potentially.
Yeah.
It should just, you have to be smart about it, right? If you're doing
Wait,
a free gig.
Does she even have a fashion label? Maybe I'm getting that wrong. I know she definitely has makeup.
She's definitely got a lot of business. She's very business savvy, that's for sure. So like, yeah. Companies pay millions of dollars for a chance to promote their products during the football game. It can cost between $6 million and $7 million to run just a 30-second ad.
Oh, my gosh.
So, think about it. That's like if you're not going to get paid.
Yeah.
And you can just basically do an ad
mm-hmm.
in a split second like that and not pay the $7 million.
Right. You just have to like, do
just find a way to find a way to plug your one of your products in the middle of it.
100%.
And save that entire fee.
Yeah.
Because it's basically it's a free performance. So there's no real downside for her other than lost time in practicing the dances and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant anyway. She wasn't going to do any elaborate dance moves. So all she had to do was show up,
mm-hmm.
perform. As this article is here saying, like her streams went up. Because she's like a little bit more popular now because she's sort of been on the down low for a little while.
Yeah.
And then, so you're going to get more streams, which is more revenue coming to you through royalties. And then you're going to get brand awareness for free. All that's for free as opposed to paying
$30 million for a 30-second ad.
Or $6 million for a 30-second ad.
Sorry. Getting that heaps wrong. And so, we saw some of the ads as well. They weren't that...
They're kind of boring.
Yeah. Like you had the Ben Stiller, almost got the name wrong, Ben Stiller and Steve Martin.
Doing the Pepsi ad.
Yeah, doing Pepsi ads. So they had like, no, it was like three Pepsi ads, right? So they would have paid so much money to have three ads in the Super Bowl Then you had the Peanuts one by your boy Gary V. The Peanuts one, that old do Peanuts. I don't know.
This is some peanut brand.
Some peanut brand.
A lot of them are just boring. Then there's ones we've never heard of. Like there was Bryan Cranston and what's the other guy from Breaking Bad? Aaron Paul.
Yes.
They did pop. What was the? It's like a.
Oh, it's like a chips. Yeah, like a potato chips thing.
And it was just like a lot of them are boring. They don't really apply here to the Australian people. And the types of ads are just weird. Like they're not like fun.
No, they're just like, I think they're
but
just trying
to
be too-
to be fun, yeah, but they're not fun.
But it just seems like way too forced because you get like A-grade celebrities because you're paying that much money for it, so you want as many eyeballs as possible. And then wasn't last year there was heaps of like crypto ads or something during
the- would have been.
Yeah.
It's hard to- it'd be hard to pull off though. Mm-hmm. You have to be like, to get an ad on there and you're spending $6 or $7 million, you need to run it through a bunch of people to make sure it's the best quality ad it can be. Like
100%.
For the writing team, for the editing team, everyone has to be on board to be like, this is the banger idea. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that like stands out above the rest.
No. Who was the, it was like one person and their mum. Like that was the ad and they were in like a phone shop, like a Verizon one.
It was.
I want to say like Ryan Reynolds, but
it wasn't Ryan Reynolds.
No, but it was like someone of like that.
This dude from The Hangover.
Oh, yeah, and he was in Silver Linings Playbook. Yeah, that dude. Yeah, it was like him and his mum. How can we not remember names?
We can't just skim over not knowing names here.
The Hangover movie. But yeah, and then, and Limitless. He was in Limitless.
All right. I don't think we're going to be-
movies that he was in.
So I have to narrow it down through that, do I?
Go to the cast, like on the side there. Alan, Mr. Cho, Stu, Phil, cast. Bradley Cooper.
All right, from now on-
We'll just name
Let's not talk about trailers and stuff that we're not showing visually because it's just so boring for someone listening.
Yeah, just us trying to guess who they are. Yeah,
it's just playing guess who on the Look Mum pod.
Anyway, you can go onto YouTube and just search the after listening to this episode, obviously, and just search
just
like
doing
simple
riddles and quizzes here in the middle of the topics. So yeah, that was an interesting little hustle on Rihanna's part, I think.
I think so. Like that's very smart. Saves her $3 million. Doesn't have to, you know, do a, you know, a big fancy ad with, you know, Steve Martin in there and you're fine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, we'll hang out for next year. Sarah knows a bit more about sports now.
Yeah, I do. And I'm a bit more of a sports grass expert as well.
A grass expert?
Not really. No.
Give me some other expert info.
I know for the tennis, they have to soak it up with, you know, towels and stuff if it get wet. If it gets wet.
They what?
So, if it's raining and stuff and the court gets wet.
They soak it up with towels.
Yeah. There was like.
They got someone down there with
the ball,
towel.
The ball kids soaking it up. There was like this big photo of them like soaking up all the water with towels.
On the entire course?
Yeah. Just like such ball kids soaking up water.
I don't know, ball kids. Ball kids soaking up grass.
I think it happened like a few months ago.
Soaking
pretty sure.
Soaking up grass. Golf. This could be a.
Not golf. Tennis.
Oh, tennis. You said, I'm pretty sure you said golf.
I think I said tennis.
I think you said golf.
Did I say golf?
We'll have to play it back. Someone drop a comment below.
Yeah, did I say golf or tennis?
I was
going to
say
tennis.
Tennis makes sense. For a golf course, for 18 holes?
No.
100 kids?
Play in the rain?
They can, yeah.
But it's probably going to make your shots terrible, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Again, that goes back to the point of like no two courses are the same.
No, they wouldn't be. It'd be so hard. So unless if it's like your native course, then maybe you'd have like an advantage because you know it really, really well.
Exactly.
But
that's why I'm watching that Full Swing documentary now. And it's if you've watched the Drive to Survive documentary series on Netflix, and there's another one now about tennis, which I haven't watched the tennis one, jump straight to the golf one. They just follow sort of the new up and comer, I guess, younger demographic influencer type celebrities that are new to the sport and trying to bring like the new Netflix generation into new sports or sports that generally have an older demographic and get them into the sport. So like attend events, start spending money, buy merchandise, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And like they're super rich, obviously, because they're like, they make you like yawning here. Basically.
I didn't mean to. Sorry. I've been working all day.
Yeah, it's a mouth closed yawn. They're heaps rich. They have a private jet. They go to different courses and stuff. And they go to the courses they're going to play at like a week before sometimes just to get used to it.
It's like your learner's driving test and the instructor takes you on the course that
you're
going to.
It's the same as like if someone's coming to your home ground and you're going to play there anyway, then yeah, you have a massive home court advantage. Same as like basketball. Like they do
50-50
games home and away. You're always going to have home court advantage, not only from the elements and the external environment, but also the fans that show up as well.
Yeah, true. Interesting. Like, I know nothing about golf, but it seems to be pretty, like, straightforward. There's, like, a number amount of holes and-
What?
A number of amount of holes.
Which number?
Isn't it can be, like, 6, 18, 24?
Generally 18.
Yeah.
Or you can have, like, 9, which is, like, okay. The half course, I guess.
Right. Yeah, so it's just generally, is there any more than 18 or not usually?
See, now you're quizzing me too much.
Oh, sorry,
you're
my
beyond,
bad.
Beyond my depth of knowledge.
Yeah, so you have 18 holes. Then you've got a bag of clubs, and each club does something specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got a putting one, you've got a driver one, you've got, like, a sand one, I'm assuming. Is there a water one? If you get stuck in water. A special water one.
Water pole.
Water pole. And then you've got a buddy that carries your clubs around and, you know, gives you advice. Caddy, yeah.
Ever seen Caddyshack?
No, I haven't actually.
Have you seen any golf movies other than... So don't just say Adam Sandler movies.
Billy Madison. No, Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore.
He's done a lot of sport movies. He did that basketball one recently.
Oh, he did too.
Interesting.
And there was that prison one that he plays.
Oh, that's a NFL one as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's a big sports fan.
He's a big basketball fan.
Yeah.
So there's Hustle, which is a basketball.
That
Water
was a
Boy,
really good movie, by the way.
Longest Yard, Happy Gilmore, Uncut Gems, which is not. And that's about it. And then you have Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. Also another classic. But yeah, other golf ones, I don't think. Oh, no.
No.
Not so much. No. No, I don't think so. Like, and I don't even know, like, golf players. Like, Tiger Woods, probably. He's the only person that I know, to be honest. And then I was asking Drew heaps of questions. We were watching it the other day. I'm like, who's this? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, who's this?
Well, I don't know because, again, that's the point of the Netflix series.
Yeah.
Is to start bringing these new upcoming names to light because there's that older generation that are sort of slowly fading away and they're already hella rich. And the new generation's on Instagram, it's on YouTube, it's on Netflix. They want you to form an attachment to these players. Like, NBA does this really well, right? The players, even UFC, like, you get attached to the actual athlete. And a lot of these other sports, they don't really have a way of you attaching to them because they don't have, like, a huge online presence. Like, there's no, like, is there a golf channel? There probably is, but there's not, like, showing, like, behind the scenes or vlog style. It's just, like, here's this week's stats from the PGA Tour. It's kind of boring and monotonous.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, having some sort of element where they can... Because the young people just want that behind-the-scenes reality.
Yeah, they want that, like, that personal touch. Because they like seeing people vulnerable. They want to get to know people. They want to seem closer to them.
Mm.
And I guess being a more of an individual person, like, it's more up to you to make sure that you put your brand and your face and your stuff out there.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, if you're part of a team, first you have the team to be able to stand behind. And then with that recognition of the team, then you can sort of stand out, like whether it's a brand deal or, you know, like if they've got trading cards, like things like that.
You see it massively in UFC. A lot of them have, a lot of the bigger guys have their own YouTube channels now where they, every week they do like vlogs about their training camps or they do like breakdowns before and after fights. Like there's a consistent source of content generation they can make. You see Matisse Thybulle when they were in the NBA bubble was doing like very high quality Casey Neistat vlogs.
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed that. I forgot about that when they're at Disneyland Resort. Yeah. And they were playing golf heaps.
Yep. But yeah, it's just about, it's personal branding at the end of the day because these guys, they're not going to last in sports forever. And we should say girls as well. This is not just like a man thing.
That's true. Hmm.
But female sports doesn't get anywhere near
the attention it deserves,
So I'm not even that huge into golf. I just thought it was a cool documentary to watch and just interesting. And then the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, this is like a massive hustle with the NBA. If you're an NBA fan, I listened to this interview the other day and it's sort of like the people that you follow in different sports, the amount of following they get is based on what kind of sport it is in terms of, are the viewers more of a spectator or a competitor in that sport?
Right.
So, like, I was watching, like, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu interview, and it was, like, BJJ is not really watched by the masses. It's only watched by people that already compete. It's not a spectator sport. It's, like, you only spectate if you already compete.
Gotcha.
Whereas, like, basketball, everyone watches it, right? But not everyone plays basketball. And, like, similar thing with golf as well. So, the more spectators there are, the more merchandise and stuff gets sold. But also, if the people that are spectating also play the thing, they have to buy stuff. So, people that play basketball, what do they buy? What are the things they can buy?
Like
shoes, jerseys, ball.
Yeah.
That's literally all you can
That's
buy.
That's it. Yeah.
With golf, there's so much more to buy. You have to pay like a weekly entry to the golf course. You have
yes.
to pay like a rental of a buggy. You have to get clubs all the time, new shoes, hat, shirt. You have to have dress attire
mm-hmm.
to actually play this thing. Whereas basketball is just like shoes and ball.
Yeah.
And how often do you like buy new ones of those?
And you wouldn't lose like a big basketball as often as you lose like the little golf balls.
So yeah. like in terms of like a revenue generating sport, like mm-hmm. golf, that's why probably golf is so lucrative because it's just like there's constantly, that's why they endorse so much. So many brands sponsor these athletes because there's so much money to be made
there's
off
so many
the people
things-
that are competing. Well, not competing, but just being involved in the sport as opposed to just spectating. Look at NFL. There's not many people like at the park on the weekend playing NFL. Because it's not really, it's more of a spectator thing than a competitive thing.
I think if it's a team, like when it involves multiple people, it's probably easy to be a spectator sport just because you need heaps of people, right, to be able to play it. So you need like, you know, six people to be able to play basketball. And if you only got like three friends, then there's not really much you can do.
I suppose that's true.
And
tennis.
Then, yeah. And then like with like tennis and golf, with those kind of like solo sort of style sports, those people can, you can play it for yourself, but you also can.
You need more, one ball, like you need, rather than having a ball to 12 people, you need 12 balls to one person.
Exactly, yes.
Interesting. I never even thought about it like that.
Yeah, so yeah, you need more stuff for the one person kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just start, make a new sport up.
What, like basketball?
Where you just lose the ball every shot, so you just have to buy so many balls.
But then you could invent like some technology and be like, get a little GPS tracker in the ball so you never lose it.
No, but then you sell less balls.
You make the problem, then you make the solution.
All right, Apple.
Wait, what problem did Apple make?
We make the product, then we make it obsolete in 2 years'
time.
Oh,
yes, you have to buy a new one. Make the battery die.
So, yeah, I think the golf documentary is really cool. If you have Netflix, check it out. I think I'm only up to episode 2, but I'm not going to play golf anytime soon. But it's an interesting documentary series. Touches on a lot of sportsmanship and competitiveness, but like it's also like the hustle aspect's really interesting as well.
The thing that got me though about it was it's quite like a mental game, similar to tennis, right? Like it's very much your head has to be in the game. You have to be really
you can
focused.
Be ahead by a mile, and also just lose in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
Not in a heartbeat, but like the tables can turn so easily.
Yeah, because they're saying like if you're thinking you're going to be having a bad swing or a bad day, you're exactly going to be having that. Same as like tennis. If you're like if your head's not in the right place, you're not focused on your shots, then you're going to have like a really bad game. So you just have to, I think they were just saying you have to be like zen with it. You just nothing through the head, just, you know, trust your body motions. And
well, on the, I think it's the second episode on the golf one, because most episodes have two different athletes and sort of follow them and you get to learn their strategy and philosophy of what they do behind the scenes. And it's like generally like either a friendship or like a polar opposite of competitors. And that's a perfect example is the mental game. One guy was really good, but got in his head a lot and like had a lot of insecurity and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy, the first guy was just thinking about it all day long, couldn't take his mind off it.
Mm-hmm.
The second guy was like out getting ice cream with his girlfriend, mm-hmm. laughing, and he was killing it because he just gets to turn it off. And that's something that I struggle with. If I'm not an athlete by any means, but just like in terms of the hustle that you're into is being able to turn off and switch off completely, not just like 50% for a little bit, like be able to zone it out completely and have that mental refresh. Super important.
Well, it's like that mental clarity because if you're thinking about it 24/7, then it's just going to be clouded. So you need that moment of like nothingness in a way to then be able to come back and then refocus and see it with a new light and be really honed in. Like that way you're not going to be, you're not going to have all those dark kind of like that voicing, you can't do it. You're not going to be able to swing. You're not going to be able to win. Yeah, because that dude, in that second episode, he was like, I know I'm good. I know I can win, but it's just not happening.
Just, too much doubt.
Yeah.
Too much self-doubt.
Sport's hectic, man.
It is hectic. I don't think I've ever played a solo person sport before in terms of, ever.
I think you might enjoy it.
No, I don't think I can handle the pressure.
Yeah, well, you barely get time to read as it is by yourself, so.
That's a mental battle on its own.
Yeah, maybe that could be your reading sport. I mean, there are speed reading challenges, right?
How do they judge that? Based on your capacity to recall things?
I think so, retention, yeah.
See, that's not really, that's a memory skill, not a reading skill, though.
That's fair. Yeah, because people can just look at something. You might have like a really good like photographic memory and just see the page and remember it.
I like the idea of playing chess, but that's also, that's a huge statistical and mathematical component as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Are you going to say anything or you say yeah?
No, I thought you were going to continue on. But yeah, like it's, you can, like with chess, you know, you could have like set moves, right? Like my brother used to play and he like researched like the three like top moves you could use to like beat someone. Mm. Like you can beat someone in three moves and things like that. Yeah. So, no, actually, no. So my younger brother could play chess quite well. Like it was just something he's like a weird, like natural when it came to sports and like love chess and love strategy. He could think like, you know, 4 or 5 steps ahead. So then my older brother was like, he Googled like how to beat you in like three plays and stuff. And I think he won it the first time. And then the second time my younger brother just beat him. He was like, I'm not going to fall for this.
What single solo sport did you play?
Oh, well, I did dancing. So I did some solo dancing.
Is that competitive though? Or was that just a hobby?
Yeah. No, I went into competitions.
Where's the medals?
I've got the box of medals over there.
Oh, you do too.
Yeah. But then I did have a whole bunch of trophies, but I ended up chucking those out because.
What's the point of a trophy? Especially when you're just a kid.
It's just like.
Unless you're like a state champ, don't worry about trophies, eh?
Oh, I did pretty well. I got a couple of, because you had gold, silver, bronze, and then you had medals, and then you had ribbons.
Yeah, I get that. Mm. But like out of how many people, I'm not discrediting your ability to dance. I'm sure it was amazing. But
it'd be like sometimes 100 girls.
Yeah.
And a couple
from
of boys.
One school though.
No, it'd be across like we would travel to, because I used to live in Victoria. So we'd travel to like other cities and stuff. You'd actually travel around Victoria and compete against other people within Victoria.
In one little corporation or group, right?
No, it'd be different dance schools or competing against each other.
But what's the universal one? Is it like state dance champs? No matter what.
No, it's
no matter what
Dance Australia. Yeah, it was like the Estead. They used to call them Esteadfords. So I did those ones.
What does that mean?
Esteadford. I don't know. It's like a dance competition.
What does Esteadford mean?
Esteadford. You can look it up. So it's like, I don't know. It's like some sort of dancing competition or singing and dancing.
Because they have rock Esteadfords.
Yeah. So it's just like a dancing competition or a singing and dancing.
Esteadford is a competitive festival of music and poetry in Wales.
Well, there you go. That's where it's come from. So it's just music. So it'd be
Esteadford literally means a sitting. Mm-hmm. Estead is to sit.
Yeah.
Perhaps a reference to the hand-carved chair traditionally awarded to the best poet. Hmm. So it's music and poetry.
Well, there you go. Interesting.
So dance just stole the word.
Yeah. And then what else did I do? I did a bit of tennis in school. Yeah, I think that's about it, to be honest.
What did you like the most?
I did dancing because it was very competitive. And then tennis was okay. Tennis I found a bit hard, but that was just more like one of my girlfriends at the time, she was heaps into tennis. So it was just more of like hanging out with her and playing kind of thing. So.
Definitely way more lucrative than dancing. Like, you can't make $1 million dancing unless you're on the Super Bowl halftime ad.
Yeah, unless if you do it, like, super professionally. But even then, you'd definitely get more money doing tennis or doing golf.
Coming 50th in, like, a
100%. Open. Yeah, then you would, you know, being in, you know, Moulin Rouge at Vegas or whatever.
What is the most lucrative? I'm sorry, I'm just going straight into, like, money mode.
Mm-hmm.
Golf would make more money than tennis.
Well, search it up. Like, what is the most lucrative solo sport,
what is
I guess?
The most lucrative.
Because, like, then you'd have the, like, dream ones would be, like, you know, I guess, like, soccer, right? That would be one of the ones. What would be the most paid out? It would have to be, like, what would be the most paid out prize? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, other solo sports out there, but I can't really think of anything. Oh, there'd be, like, swimming and boating and, like, motocross and stuff.
Yeah. What sport makes the most money? I'm thinking like maybe something less about like the
table tennis.
No. All right, Bubba.
No, table tennis is actually quite funny. I still love that. But that was more of like a camp.
I'm thinking
type thing.
Less about global fan base and more about the wealth of the audience. Something like
viewership?
No, you're missing what I just said. Less about the viewership and the audience as opposed to like the people competing, if that makes sense, like a equestrian or something. Like, only super rich people are into it.
Right, like
could be wrong.
Polo.
Let me just find out in 2 seconds, right?
Like polo, right?
Basketball, baseball. Basketball is the most for a team. Mm-hmm.
Boxing.
This is from 10 to the boxing top. Doesn't make much money at all. You make more money doing being an MMA
I don't know
fighter.
If it would be, sorry to the boxers out there, I don't know if it would be worth it getting punched in the head several times to like get the money.
Well,
yeah.
If you're good enough, you won't get punched in the head.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair call.
Are we going 10 to, from number 10 to number 1?
Yeah, we can skip
number
through.
Number 10, boxers. Number 9, MMA fighters. Mm-hmm. Number 8, NASCAR drivers.
Ah.
Number 7, golfers.
Interesting, 2 million.
That's pretty an average. On average, a pro golfer can earn $2 million per year. Pretty decent. Hockey players. Oh, this is all teams.
Yeah.
Football players.
That's American football.
Soccer. Formula One.
So that's a solo.
Baseball. And then basketball is number one.
Wow. Okay. Tennis doesn't even make the top 10.
Interesting.
Okay.
Doesn't even appear in this article.
No. Okay.
I mean, this is a runnersathletics.com. Maybe they don't consider it a running sport, but I mean, they do have NASCAR there.
Interesting.
So, like, what would be the hardest sport to get into?
Ah, so I see. What has the most competitive?
Not the most competitive. The hardest to-
Barrier to entry?
Barrier to entry.
Right.
So, probably, like, you can play college ball. You can play basic golf.
Mm-hmm.
I think something like NASCAR, because I know, like, the Formula One and stuff, it's impossible. You get to be a millionaire to even, like, step foot in a Formula One
car. Yeah, because even though you're a solo driver, you still have a whole team behind you because someone has to design the car, make it better. You need sponsors for
insurance.
It. Insurance. And, like, with Formula One, like, apparently those are, like, one-and-done cars. Like, the wheels, like, are they like a couple of million of dollars just to like drive it around?
You're
like one course.
You're asking me to do a lot of Googling. Right
Sorry.
Now. If anyone lives in Sydney and wants to be a professional Googler,
yeah, let us know.
Hit us up because we need someone to take the pressure off me.
What is it? The search it up, Jamie. Your name doesn't have to be Jamie. It's fine.
All right. Moving on from that. Any other topics you wanted to present to us this week outside of sports? Because I did miss the slam dunk contest today.
No. Can we watch that later?
We can watch that later.
If we got it time.
And then the All-Star Game's on tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've got a lot of work to do to be able to watch that.
Yeah. To be able to deserve it. They're like, no, I mean, say like we work hard to be able to deserve the good things.
What, deserve an hour and a half to be on my phone?
I didn't mean like you don't deserve it. You deserve everything.
Any other topics we wanted to bring up this week?
So what did I have? Oh, you've already got showing everybody that's watching, so that's fine. I just sort of went into a bit of a, like, during the week that I had, I was starting to research for, like, my next video that I was making just around, like, productivity and stuff. And then I fell into this, like, hole of minimalism and just, like, like, stuff billionaires won't buy. And I was like, oh.
They won't buy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just, like an interesting concept because,
we're
like,
just
we were-
just playing guessing
games. No. No, I've got, like, a YouTube video. We can watch it if you want. Okay. Yeah, just
should
be
say,
able
this
to-
Sarah is making YouTube videos as well now.
Oh, yeah.
Don't just, like, skim over that. You're doing really well.
I think-
Getting 100 views for your first couple of videos, that's pretty hard to do, to be
honest.
Yeah,
I'm, like, 3 videos in, so it's pretty interesting. My recent one's just around about journaling, which was, I used to journal quite a bit as a teenager.
Plug your channel.
I'm Sarah Hingston.
Spelt.
H-I-N-G-S-T-O-N, Sarah with a H. Got to say Sarah with a H because...
Sarah. What? When do you call it Sarah? What's a Sarah? That's a
so, Sarah's with a, like, okay. Like,
I've touched a nerve.
No. No, this is, it's always going to be a thing because, like, you have, in Sarah's with a H, we'll always say Sarah's without a H or Sarah's. And then... Sorry.
Really, it's just funny to me.
Yeah, I know. It's just like one of those things. And then obviously.
So these are all, regardless of what camp you're in, you're always claiming that you're a Sarah. And, well, you're always othering. You're always othering.
Yeah, there will be some Sarahs without a H that are actually called Sarah, but most of the time they call themselves Sarah, but you don't have an at the end of yours. You have an R. It's just one of those things. If you're a Sarah with a H,
are there any other ways of spelling? I'm not going to bother with that sentence. So, minimalism.
Yeah. So, I just got like on one of these things because like something about like productivity, right, is if you have a lot of clutter and a lot of stuff around you, it can, you know, inhibit your ability to be able to focus and be able to be productive and all that kind of thing. So yep. I was just like watching a whole bunch of like YouTube videos just around like minimalism, which we've sort of like dabbled in the past. Like we've mentioned it before, we don't collect a whole bunch of stuff. Like we don't keep a whole bunch of things. The stuff that you see behind you right now is literally all the collectibles that we own.
We're not really minimalist, but we're not really that much of a consumerist.
No.
Like, does that be a term for that? Just essentialist?
I think there was like cozy minimalism, but I don't even know if
this house is not cozy. It's anything but cozy.
Yeah, like essential minimalism could be the thing. Yeah, because we splurge on some things, but it's usually like tech and stuff like that. Things that we know that are going to be in the home for like 5+ years. But yeah, we're not like, you know, buy a whole bunch of pot vinyls or that kind of thing. They're only, what? Like, it's true,
the
though.
Pop vinyls are just get raging on you in the comments right now.
That's
pop
fine.
Vinyl fans.
You collect what you want to collect. We don't, like, you know, store a bunch of movies and CDs and stuff. Because, like, I used to have, you know, 1,000+ CDs. I used to have a whole bunch of DVDs, like, and I've just culled it throughout a time. And it's only recently that we've sort of started building up on books, which is fine. I think I like the idea of having a whole bunch of books. Those are the only things I don't mind a bit of clutter around. But then I sort of went into another, end thing of just, like, what billionaires don't buy anymore. And I was like, oh, that's like an interesting concept because you have all this money in the world, but there's still stuff that you recommend not buying. The list ended up being a little bit on the generic side, so we can skip through like the items that he talks about. YouTube videos?
Are they to watch or are they?
We can watch them. We'll just like a reference or we can reference it later. I can just like summarize it if that's easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's just.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
So, things billionaires don't buy.
Yeah.
Groceries.
Sort of. They did touch on food, but there's a different aspect about it.
Oreos. No, they don't buy microwave meals.
Kind of, yeah. So, they don't buy, like, junk food. So, like, the easy access. So, they don't.
Their assistants do, of course.
Yeah, yeah. They buy organic and fresh and, like, that kind of thing. So, you're not buying the cheap snacks anymore. Right. Yeah, so you're not.
You're not buying home bread. You're not buying black and gold.
Yeah, but even then, like, you're not, you know, getting potato chips and all that kind of stuff. You just, like, you've actually got that little bit extra money to get, like, proper Whole Foods and that kind of thing. Yeah.
They also don't buy. Give me a hint. I just want to guess one more just to see how smart I can be at moments.
Something to do with fashion?
They don't buy designer clothes. They buy plain clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's a huge one. So, when you like, you know, you have a whole bunch of people when you start getting money or things like that, like they were saying in their earlier
careers. They don't want to show off their wealth.
Exactly. Like in early careers, you'd buy like the big Gucci and the big Versace and like the big brands and labels and all that kind of stuff to show that you like got money. But people that are actually wealthy don't buy that kind of thing. They'll buy the simplistic. They'll buy, you know, like the, you know, something that could be like, you know, cashmere, but it doesn't look like it. Another thing is, yeah, they'll buy like secondhand clothes as well. Like they still, you know, don't mind getting that secondhand aspect.
All right. So not quite a billionaire, but something I've seen this week is Josh Giddey, the Australian basketballer. Is that a bit too flashy for you?
That is so flashy. Look at that blue fur coat. Far
out. I think it's fur. He's like 19 or whatever.
Yeah. So faux fur.
I just thought that was funny. So they like to spend their money on like transport and stuff. That's where they'd prefer to splurge their money.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So travel was like a huge thing. So another aspect was it, which came into like the minimalism aspect was it, is like they don't just buy things anymore. So, you know, you'd like back in the day, go to Kmart and get like knickknacks and just like buy like random. And again, like the collectibles and stuff like that. But they just buy, you know, one-off like nice things. So whether it's art or whether it's furniture, whether it's like one or two nice pieces of like home decor, they're not just buying like random stuff, if that makes sense.
They don't have time for it.
Well, that's
the
whole
thing.
Their
time is so valuable and they don't, like, I would hesitate to say that they probably don't spend any less than $100 on any one thing. Yeah. Outside of food, they're not going to spend $100 or even $50 on a crappy lamp from somewhere.
Yeah, they don't have time for clutter. So, like, it's just, like, they're just – that's why when you have, like, you see a lot of those wealthy homes, most of the time they're quite clutter-free. They just don't have time to, think about clutter or spend on clutter.
Interesting.
Yeah. Another one was eating out. They said eating out's overrated. You can just spend so much money on eating out, whereas you're better off, like, I'm used to eat out for, like, connections and all that kind of thing. You're better off, like, giving them an experience instead. So take them hiking, take them for a picnic. Like, it seems like those, like, one-on-one connections seem to be a little bit more valued rather than just going to a fancy restaurant and paying thousands of dollars for a meal. They would find it a little bit more personable, like, if you do take them for an experience rather than just, like, a night out.
Just a plane trip over to Epstein Island or something.
Yeah, one of those weird kind of ones.
Oh, I've been wondering this lately because we pay someone to do the lawns.
Yes.
Because essentially the logic is the amount of time it takes to do the lawns is like a lot of waste. Even like not even just doing the act itself, but preparing, showering afterwards. It's just a nightmare. And it only gets done at like 60-70% of the level of effort that's required, like can be done compared to like someone that does it all day long, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason we can do that is because we can essentially make more money per hour than we're paying the person to do it per hour.
Yes.
And like thinking about billionaires and food like that, Instagram, whatever reel that I've seen recently about from Alex Hormozi is the same concept but with food.
Mm-hmm.
So like don't bother doing meal plans or cooking at home if you can go and buy like a decent meal from somewhere for $15. When you can make $100 an hour. So, the same logic applied to food.
Right.
So, I was like, do we just get takeout every night?
No.
That's if you can make $100 per hour every hour sort of thing as well.
Gotcha, yeah.
But, like, a billionaire can definitely afford, like, a high quality, not necessarily takeout, but, like, a personal chef or someone. But you could also afford to go out every meal if you wanted to.
But they said they were just like, it's just like one of those things. They said just going out all the time is overrated. So probably having a personal chef is like something they'll have instead where you can be in the comfort of your home or things like that.
I don't think most billionaires would even be recognized in public though.
No, so probably not.
One part of my brain says, oh, it's also a way to keep yourself insulated from the greater world or dangers or, you know, like someone that's coming to attack them or something. I don't know. If you're famous in the public eye. But I imagine most of them are probably behind the scenes billionaires that you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
You might know that, like, you wouldn't even know they're a CEO of, like, a company or something. They're just a billionaire. You wouldn't know. So, like, one part of me is like, oh, maybe they don't want to go out and eat because it's just too much time away from business or it's like they're going to get recognized and lose time that way. But I don't think many of them would be that recognizable.
No. And I think it might just come down to, like, just wanting, like, a home cooked meal, right? Because, like, when we went to Vietnam a couple of years back, we're just like craving normal home cooked food after a while. So I guess if you're eating out every night, having, you know, specialized food or fancy restaurants that is like super rich or whatever it is, you just probably want to go home and just be like, I just feel like a nice baked dinner.
When's the last time we had a nice baked dinner?
Christmas.
2 months ago. I feel like a baked dinner now.
Maybe next date night. Oh no, it takes long. Maybe pay someone to make us a baked dinner.
What else do the billionaires not pay for?
Those are the only ones I can remember off the top of my head. No, oh, another one was, it sort of like ties off like with the stuff and the clutter was, like spending like money on games and things like that. So just like stuff that doesn't really help them long term. So again, it just comes to like not just buying like short term stuff.
Once you get
that
wealthy, you can't, you're more focused on not losing it than, like, you want to make more, but you're also equally as focused on not losing what the wealth you've already generated.
Yeah. Oh, another thing was, like, the home that was being purchased. Like, I actually watched just two different videos, and it's quite interesting. They said just, like, having a huge mansion is overrated.
Mm. A lot of them just, like, rent or just have a tiny home.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they were, like, they preferred, like, just a small internet home because, like, having all that space just costs a lot more money and a lot more anxiety in the long run because you have to have someone to run it and it has to have the cleaning costs. You have to buy all the stuff to fill it. And, like, if you're busy and you're making that much money, chances are you're not going to be home all the time anyway. So, you're not even going to be able to enjoy that space.
But they'll have a private jet with 10 extra receipts on it.
Yeah. Because it's smaller and you get to enjoy the space. But yeah, they're saying like big homes were like overrated as well, which is interesting.
Well, it would be.
Yeah.
There's a fundamental difference between a millionaire and a billionaire though. If you watch like What's that YouTube channel? I think his name's Ennis, the real estate guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of them are, like, pretty luxurious and abundant, the houses they go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like, this person spent $9, $10, $12, $20 million on this home, but they're probably in that range of $400 or $500 million
mm-hmm.
net worth. And it's a fundamental difference. There's kind of like still that splurginess for that type of millionaire. When you get to a billion, it's kind of, I feel like the richer you become, the less you need. In a way.
I get that feels, because you have someone like Elon Musk, right? Doesn't he just live in like a small home? Like, he doesn't
I believe he rents a...
like a 2-4-bedroom house or something?
Yeah. Or, yeah. I think it's just like one of these. I'll have a look.
I'm pretty sure he would own a bunch of property, but like, it makes sense.
It's like one of these little box things, I think. Little box home.
Yeah. I think, and they just must crave that minimalism aspect as well, just to having that hassle-free sort of lifestyle.
This one here, Elon Musk uses $50,000 prefab tiny house, boxable. It's like a little
cute.
Not cute. It's like a shack you see on the beach.
How was the article?
August last year, 2022. So these are just little things you can just prop up, throw on a truck, and just drop off wherever. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he just lives in that.
Well, there you go.
I don't know how real that is. I imagine he probably has property that's generating income.
Yeah, he'd probably have holiday homes that you would visit every now and then, but well,
That's all you really need.
But if you're spending so much time, like...
Hang on, he has like 12 kids. I don't know how that'd be manageable.
They're all with the wives.
True. So they would just have a whole suburb full of these boxable homes.
Yeah.
Interesting. He's probably an investor in the company or something.
Most likely.
Probably just an ad.
It could be. He's another one of those marketing geniuses, so...
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just like a trip. So when we become billionaires...
What the fuck? Then put that pressure on me.
Well, both would. But like, it's one of those
things.
Give
me one idea that's going to get us to $1 billion. One idea right now. No, like a
GPS tracking golf balls.
Oh, fuck.
How
many do we have to? So I think with a lot of these businesses, you can, I guess this is like horrible math. So if you're a hustler, don't listen, because these figures are going to be horrible. I think you can roughly sell the 10x what your revenue is
mm-hmm.
if you're going to like sell it to an investor or something that wants to buy the company off you. I can see you trying to hold in these yawns.
It's I'm good. There's not a yawn.
You're
then.
Holding them in. I can see your cheeks widening. So $1 billion would mean you're doing it again.
No, I'm not. I'm not yawning. I am talking. I am fine.
You have to do like 100 million. I don't know where I'm getting this number from. It could be completely incorrect. 100 million in revenue, and then like the valuation is like 10x that, right?
Right.
So for 100 million in revenue of golf balls,
mm-hmm.
how much are we selling these things for to make 100 million in revenue?
Like 10 bucks a pop?
So 100 million mm-hmm. at 10 bucks a pop is 10 million a year.
Yeah, 10 million golf balls. So you have to buy it in packs of 10, so 10 of 10.
Fuck.
Because you just can't sell a singular golf ball. You have to sell in packs of 10.
What's the point of having a GPS in there? That means you don't need 10 of them. You just need the one.
Yeah, I know. But like you'd want, you know, one for you, one for your caddy, one for... So you buy them in packs of 10 because that's the way the world works. You have to buy them in packs now. Maybe packs of 9 just to make it like annoying because people, you always get that. You know, it's like when you get like, you know, spring rolls and stuff, they give you 5 rather than like 6. I'm like, there's 2 of us. Make it even, please. So we each can have the even amount.
So 10 million a year. So packs of 10. So we need to do 1 million packs a year.
Mm-hmm.
1 million packs a year.
Yeah.
Times 300 divided by 365.
And they'll be available globally. So they'll be available to the whole entire world. And then you can break it down to like
1 million. Divided by 365. So we need to sell 2,500 of these 100 packs per day. Of these 10 packs per day.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
We can do that.
I mean, it's not the worst idea I've ever heard. I'm just trying to, so, like, talk me through these golf balls.
So maybe to make it a little bit more fun, they can be different colors.
Do you know how golf balls are made? Do you know there's probably like a weight and density component that has to be met to be considered like playable on a course? Otherwise, the par number they have could be too high or too low depending on the density of the ball. I imagine there's some aspect of that.
And the grooves, like, help them fly through the air and all that kind of stuff as
so
well.
So, you're factoring all that into it?
Yeah, there'll be, and it'll just be a little GPS tracker on the inside that would have a compatible app that would have a subscription base as well. So, that's probably where I would get a lot of our money from.
Give me a percentage out of 100, the odds that it already exists. Is it 100% it already exists and 0% like it doesn't exist yet?
I'd say it probably already exists, to be honest. GPS tracking golf balls. And then, yeah, the compatible app. So we'll be like Microsoft and that's where we get a lot of our income from.
All right. So we're out
the subscription tier. Does it exist?
Microchip GPS tracked golf ball. It already exists, Sarah.
Oh, damn.
There's actually a few versions of them.
Okay.
You can bring it up and we can have a look and cry the $1 billion away.
B-ball.
B-ball.
B-all.
This okay. is from Forbes. Mm-hmm. Forget a smart golf ball. You can't lose. Encore has Genius Ball that runs $50 per sleeve.
Ooh. Well, my $10 was a bargain.
So, it's like a little sleeve that goes around it. Interesting.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a good little brainstorm for a business idea, I guess. But, yeah, it's hard to get to $1 billion. It's a lot of pressure to put on your partner. I'm not that much of a hustler.
And I said millions, didn't I?
You said billionaire.
I said millionaire.
No.
No, I meant millionaires.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Think about that in the next 12 months. That's no problem at all.
But my original point was I don't need a big house. I just want a nice house. Can be like 4 bedrooms, that's fine. This is a 4-bedroom house now.
Yeah, but we don't own this.
I know. And then just a decent enough backyard for Archie, our dog, and then a veggie garden. That's all I want. And maybe some rescue animals.
All right. So we'll see you guys next week. I'll be working on making some money to pay for this house.
That'd be great. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you guys next week, episode 52.
See ya.